today. My guest is Jeff Fritz. Jeff, how are you?
Hey, good to see you again, Dave.
Great to see you. Welcome to the Kalahari here in Pocono Manor.
Pocono Manor, Pennsylvania. We got a Kalahari resort.
So, of course, the first thing we had to do was have a tech conference here.
So, of course, we had to have a tech conference. Of course. I'm happy to have
you're from Pennsylvania, right?
Absolutely. I'm so happy to have a tech conference, a big tech conference like this in my home state.
What keeps you busy these days?
So I'm doing a lot with ASP.NET web forms.
Still?
Absolutely. 15
Let's
years
Let's settle
going.
This right now. Are web forms dead?
No.
Okay.
No, they are not dead.
What's going on with web forms?
So I'm actually the program manager at Microsoft for web forms. So we're doing a lot to modernize web forms in the sense of we want to make sure that it works well with the latest versions of the .NET framework. And not just the framework, but the tools around it, right?
Right.
We want to make sure that you can still build web forms nicely and elegantly when we get to the next version of Visual Studio.
Okay.
We want to make sure that it works great with the compilers. So as we've been advancing the Roslyn compiler, we continue to add features to it to web forms to ensure that we use the compiler properly and you get better build times and better output from it, so you get a better application and a better application development experience.
So this is ASP.NET, or as .NET evolves, now we've got .NET Core.
We do.
Then now we have ASP.NET Core, and that includes web forms. Is that?
No, ASP.NET Core does not include web forms.
Oh, then clarify that for me.
So, sure. ASP.NET Core is a complete rewrite of ASP.NET. Mm-hmm. So no longer do you have in ASP.NET Core things like HTTP handlers and HTTP modules.
Oh, okay.
Those foundational things that we had in web forms and MVC previously. So that entire event-driven pipeline that we had when you'd build your application.
That's the page load and the page render and the pre-render and so on.
Yeah, application begin request, application end request, those things, and managing session and an application state object, those things do not exist inside of ASP.NET Core. ASP.NET Core is really, it's a very strong MVC framework where I've got an event, not an event, I've got a HTTP pipeline that occurs top to bottom in order, and at the end of that is my controller in MVC that fires and handles whatever the request that was sent over to MVC, process it, and return appropriate responses. So ASP.NET Core does all of those things, and we love ASP.NET Core, we think it's great, and it can run on either the .NET framework or the .NET Core framework. So you've got two different .NET frameworks there. But we've had multiple .NET frameworks for a while now because we've had Xamarin, we've had the Silverlight, all that stuff. So you can choose to run ASP.NET Core on either of those, but we are still continuing to evolve ASP.NET and making that work with the .NET framework on Windows. So .NET framework runs on Windows. Of course, it comes with Windows, right? Okay. When you install Windows 10, Windows 7, Windows 8, it comes with Windows. And you can use that to build web pages with MVC, web forms, whatever you'd like. And then if you want to install and use ASP.NET Core and .NET Core, there's a series of NuGet packages you need to download and install along with tools to make sure that those things that are really more of an opt-in framework, you only add those when you need them, are available to you. But here's the weird thing, Dave.
Yeah.
When I look at Windows, and I look at Windows 10, and it's got the full .NET framework installed, that also means that System Web DLL is sitting there on my machine.
System Web DLL is, now is that where ASP.NET web forms exists?
You're right. Okay. Yep, that's where
it's not part of .NET Core. Then.
It's not. Okay. So what's kind of strange when I think about this bigger picture, when I go to build an application, not even an application, my framework is there, but when my mother, when my non-technical mother goes to start up her laptop and she just wants to browse the web, she's got a full web server framework. Not the web server itself, but the framework to build a web application on her laptop. My mother's not going to write a web application, but it's sitting there and available for her. What do you mean you doubt it? You're saying my mother wouldn't know how to build a web framework?
I better back off of this conversation. My mother's no way I'm going to win it. I've never met your mother, but I respect her. Because she put up with you.
Yes, she did put up with me. So there's a very interesting point there with ASP.NET Core that if you don't need those web things, they don't come by default
on your operating system.
I see. So for a non-technical person like mom, that's just clutter.
Yeah,
installing things. Why install things on her machine that she's never ever going to use?
Absolutely.
She wants to use them, then she can download them.
Exactly. She wants to take that class and learn how to build ASP.NET Core, then she can go download it and use it. But there is an ASP.NET there by default on every Windows machine.
All right. So WebForms have been around for, what did you say, 15 years now?
15, 16 years, yeah.
Is it still evolving? Beyond just making it work with the latest framework?
So beyond just making it work, we are looking at and doing some things to complete the asynchronous story that we started a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So we started making WebForms themselves, the actual page, asynchronous. And you could always make, you know, asynchronous calls within your page to do different things. And in .NET 4.6, we made model binding asynchronous inside of a page. So a lot of people didn't know you could do that in ASP.NET 4.5.
Okay.
You can add model binding to your data bound controls.
This is the idea behind that is that you see a page loaded first before the data populated in.
So no, that's something different actually. Model binding is instead of having a data source on say my grid,
okay,
right, I can specify a select method, mm-hmm, and that's a method that gets either generated for you by the tooling or you can write it yourself in the code behind that says, here's how to get the data for my grid. Mm. Now you're outside of the event lifecycle. You don't have to write that is post back, go do this.
Okay.
If it isn't post back, go load my data in the grid. You have to write the select method so that the grid knows when I need to load data in here, this is the method I called to go get data.
Mm.
So now you don't worry about the events. You don't worry about load and pre-render and create child controls.
I never liked those events.
I can understand that.
I found myself copying and pasting code from one to the other.
I ended up tripping over those, trying to understand where should my code actually live.
Right.
But by using model binding, you're outside of those, and when the control needs to do that select, it can do it and load up your data.
Hmm.
And there's other methods out there you can wire up for create, update, and delete.
Okay.
So when I'm updating my data, call this method over here, and it'll pass in an appropriate object that you can use then to update your data store.
When you say call, you're talking about JavaScript calling a back-end web service?
Oh, good point. No, this is all server-side interaction.
Okay.
So when you click some sort of a button that triggers a postback for that grid that has an edit column on it,
mm-hmm,
it'll perform that update, send that object back to the server, and the server will call that update method appropriately at the appropriate time. So once again, you're not chasing events. And then you can write your object back to the data store.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you guys keep numbers on how many people are using WebForms versus MVC?
We don't have specific numbers around how many people are using each. We do know that WebForms is still very popular based on the number of times that people say file new project and they choose WebForms.
How do you know that?
There's a good bit of telemetry that we collect from Visual Studio. It's one of those things when you install Visual Studio, there's a button there that says, I'd like to contribute to the customer experience program.
Okay, that's a sort of
if you choose to do that, then we collect some information like which types of projects you create.
Okay.
So we do know a little bit of that information, but we don't know in production what exactly people are using one or the other.
I just thought the control vendors, I will type work for a control vendor.
I did.
Their sales are a good indicator of how many people are using WebForms or CDCs, because they have separate controls for them.
They do. They have a good indicator as to how many people are buying those, but you also see with those that there's people who aren't going to buy control sets. And those people might be startups. They might be large enterprises. They might be custom software vendors that aren't going to buy control sets. So there's a good size of the market that you aren't going to see. But I think you're right. It's a good sample for people who are.
If nothing else, it indicates that the WebForms are not dead.
Of course.
In fact, I was joking when I said that.
No. And
know that people are using them. Even people that are not actively creating new WebForms projects, they're still maintaining older ones.
Absolutely. The people who are maintaining long-standing WebForms applications out there, they need to know that there's things that you can upgrade, include, improve the performance of your application on, because you're going to get the new compiler. You're going to get new features that for free are going to improve your application. It might not be a significant whiz bang, wow, you know, look at how much better my application is because I upgraded to .NET 4.6.2.
Right.
But you know what? The next time you go to recompile your application, it might take a quarter less time than it did before. And that's a good thing for you.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
What is next for WebForms? Do you have something on the roadmap that you could share?
So we're looking at a couple of different things that we're interested in doing to make it feel modern, make it feel like it's compatible and something you can work with as a developer in today's web. A couple things we're kicking around to enable better integration with modern JavaScript frameworks.
Hmm.
There's other things that we're learning from ASP.NET Core, and we're trying to decide, do we bring these features back into web forms and enhance the model so that you have the same concepts in both frameworks? So we're looking at that, and we'll figure that out in the near future.
Now, you've probably asked yourself this question, but you say modern JavaScript frameworks. How do you select which modern JavaScript framework to support?
That's a great question.
Or do you even try to select one?
It's hard to say with the JavaScript frameworks because they evolve and they change so quickly. They come into favor and fall out of favor. 6 months ago, I would say, okay, let's do React.
Right.
Now it's, do we do Angular 2?
Mm-hmm.
Do we do Aurelia?
Aurelia seems to be gaining some traction.
Yeah. Knockout 3-4 years ago, mm-hmm. That's where it was. I don't know. There's ways to measure, you know, here's what the popular one is now, but how much traction, how much stickiness are they going to have? Are they going to be mm-hmm. with us for a long period of time? I don't know. And that's something that, more so than writing something so that we can be used by a specific framework, I think we need to build APIs to make it easier to add on and enhance for specific frameworks.
Okay.
So if we do want to enable Angular, here's an API that we can enable quickly. If we want to enable Aurelia, use the API and reskin it for them.
Hmm. Okay.
So...
very right, cool. And where are you going to be next? You're just doing a lot of speaking, I know.
Yeah, I am. Gosh. I'm going to be, at the end of October, I'll be at Dev Intersection in Las Vegas.
Excellent.
And, of course, in November, I'll be at the MVP Summit in Redmond.
Jeff, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. Hey, you know what? I've been working on some cool ASP.NET technology, and I want to share it with my friends.